so much older then. I'm younger than that now.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Schaefer with Mark Middleton, and this is Growing Bolder. You know, every now and then we all need a shot in the arm, a nudge to remind us that life is short and that we need to get up, get out, and live it while we have the chance. You know, that attitude and this radio show are called Growing Bolder. And over the next hour, you're going to hear inspiring stories from incredible people who got off the couch and on to living lives of passion. They are the kinds of stories that will lead you to believe that, yes, you can do it too.
Great point, Bill. And here's the proof. On today's program, you will hear from one of the best James Bond girls ever. And she was a pretty good medicine woman, too. The interesting and inspirational Jane Seymour. Then we're going to visit with Mike Campbell, who at 90 is the oldest hockey player in the world. Then, do you have enough money for retirement? We all worry about that. We're going to talk with one of the nation's top financial experts and confessions of a caregiver, what you need to know now in order to do the right thing. But first, one of the biggest teen idols of all time. Amazing people, inspiring stories. This is Growing Bolder.
Sugar, you look kind of sweet, cuter than a baby walking down the street. When I look into your eyes, I want to leave. I can't conceal that you make me feel like a tiger.
You are listening to a fantastic tune called Tiger. It was one of the biggest hits our next guest ever had, all the way to number 3 with over 1 million sold. This is Growing Bolder. Nobody gets more interesting guests than we do. We're going to prove it to you now. Ours was a huge teen idol in the late 50s and early 60s. The guy had 11 songs, cracked the Billboard Hot 100, but that's not it. The guy's got great acting chops, too, with countless guest TV spots. And he's in over 30 films, side by side, with the likes of John Wayne, Bing Crosby, even Jimmy Stewart. And today he's still out there, living large, touring with Frankie Avalon and Bobby Rydell as one of the golden boys, reminding everyone what a great era he helped create for a lot of us to grow up in. Let's say hi to the one and only legendary Fabian. How are you, Fabian?
I love that intro. Thank you.
You know, we use that to thank you for all that you gave us, not just your talents, but your effect on the culture, and even better, Fabian, the fact that you're still out there doing it. Is it anywhere close to what it was like back in the old days?
Well, believe it or not, when we started this Golden Boys show, Golden Boys of Bandstand, 30 years now, in the very beginning, it was like the old days, and now it's even better now because people have stuck with us, and our generation is the best in the world because they hang in there with you. They like to remember the old songs, and they want to see if we can still walk around.
And what a great testament to you to perform in front of people that didn't grow up with you, maybe never heard of you, but who. They dive right in, Fabian, to the great music, the great sound, and the great talents that you guys really are.
Some young people do enjoy it, I have to admit. Not all, of course, but some do. And I'm glad to see them out there.
Well, it's great stuff. And if we can roll back the clock just for a minute, your story is unbelievable. And I know everybody asks you to tell it again, but the way you were discovered, it's more bizarre than any Hollywood movie ever, because most people seek the business. In your case, the business found you sitting on the front steps in what had to be one of the worst days of your life.
Yeah, my father was being taken away in an ambulance. He had a massive heart attack. And he had to retire after that and couldn't work any longer. And it just so happened that this guy who owned Chancellor Records was driving by, and he had a good friend that lived right next door to me, and he thought it was that friend that was ill, only to find out it was me, my father. Consequently, he kept bugging the guy next door because guys of a certain look were making it in those days, Presley, Rick Nelson, et cetera. And he had the guy next door to ask me if I was interested in being in the rock and roll business. And I, you know, I told everybody to go to hell. I was worried about my dad. Finally, when we found out my dad couldn't work any longer, and I was the oldest of three boys, I was 14 and a half, and I was only making $6 a week delivering prescriptions at the local drugstore, I said, hey, if I can make some money, I'll give it a shot. And that's what happened.
And it's incredible. Folks, we're talking to Fabian. And at 15, you were 15 years old, you won the Most Promising New Artist. You had nothing but hit after hit after that. But then I want to ask you, if you've always been this fearless, because at the ripe age of 18, dozens of hit records, you said, I've had enough. I'm buying myself out of my contract.
Well, I don't know how strong I was. It was a personal decision because my management was kind of weird, and I had to get away from it, and it wasn't a healthy situation. So that's why I left, and I was thankful that God blessed me with a good contract with 20th Century Fox to make some films, and that's why I did it.
Fabian, did you like acting more? I know I read somewhere you said you felt it was more of a natural fit for you than even singing was.
Very natural fit for me. Singing, I was a fish out of water. My first two records were so bad, I mean, I don't even want to hear the titles of them anymore. But then I got lucky with I'm a Man, with Mort Schumann and Doc Pomus. But acting, I work with the great directors, Henry Koster, Don Siegel, people like that, who made me feel very comfortable. And even though I never acted before, I just engrossed myself in the story and became that person. I don't know how I did it, and I'm thrilled that I did it, and I love doing it, and that's how it happened.
And you know what? It holds up really well. I'm sure when you go back and look, you're pretty proud of what you saw. You know, we all talk about how tough failure is to deal with, but I'm guessing success can cause problems too. How tough was it for you to keep your feet on the ground after having the world roll a red carpet out for you?
Well, you know, it was. I had a year or two of feeling my oats, and I certainly regretted it. You think you're. You know, when you think you're special or different, you're dead. You're a dead man. And that happened to me on a few little occasions, not many times, but I regretted it, and I smacked myself and got into a little trouble and woke up. And once you wake up and find out that nobody's special, it's a wonderful feeling.
And not only did you wake up, Fabian, you have raised tons of money for the Heart Association, for diabetes. You held a golf tournament for U.S. veterans. You've made it a point to try to make life around you better than it was before. What has a teen idol learned about life in his later years?
You can only do what you can do to the best. And your family. And your family is everything. And I don't know, it sounds corny, but you just try to hang in there because we all have our ups and downs. And we all have our doubts. And you have, especially when you get older, you start feeling a little like, wow, what's going to happen to me? And sometimes it's hard, but you got to remember that you have good people around you and you have family. And you start thinking about all the people who have helped you and not the people that have hurt you, because I was there a little bit when you start thinking about people that weren't very good to you, and that's so negative, it brings you in a bad place. So that's not a very good thing to do.
Fabian, is life in your 70s anywhere close to what it was at 17?
Of course not. Of course not. I am, I look back and, I do my own fan mail. Not all of it, but some of it. And I look back and I look back at the older pictures and, you know, sometimes an older movie will come on. And sometimes I wonder, who was that guy? but I'm grateful and I loved every minute of it at the time. But it's so different now because, you know, I have my children are grown. I have a wonderful wife. And I live in a very rural area, and it's very quiet. you know, and I go fishing in my pond, and it's a totally different life. I still do the show with Frankie and Bobby, and I love it. But, you know, we started out doing 70 or 80 shows a year, and I'm glad we're down to about 15 or 20. Mm.
Does it make you crazy when you see the younger folks come up and start to go down some of the same roads that you had to learn the hard way from, the Justin Bieber type guys?
Well, I understand the Justin Bieber situation. I've been there. He's come around. It looks like he's come around. But, you know, there's very few people could say, well, geez, I know exactly what he's going through. Not that he's right, don't get me wrong. And I certainly wasn't right. But boy, I remember.
And I'm telling you, how smart would he be to call a guy like you on the phone and just have that conversation, Fabian, because you had it all. And you had the fact that you're still going is proof that you had talent under the looks, because we still love you, we still flock to see you, and we're still thrilled to be able to talk with you. Folks, the next time you hear that Fabian and Frankie Avalon and Bobby Rydell are playing in a town near you, make sure you don't miss it. You will love it. You can keep up with all things that's going on in his life at FabianForte.com. Fabian, thanks for a great visit. Up next, her life changed in an instant when suddenly both her parents could no longer care for themselves. Now she's reaching out to us with advice we need to hear. This is Growing Bolder.
Growing Bolder and Humana are celebrating the opportunity of aging and smashing stereotypes with the new 65 Plus. We're sharing examples of people 65 and older who are pursuing their passions and leading happy, healthy, and active lives. You can inspire others by sharing your own photos and stories. Find more information at growingbolder.com/new65plus.
You're listening to Growing Bolder Radio with Mark and Bill. One of the most difficult challenges any of us could ever face in life is having to become caregivers for our parents.
And record numbers of us are facing that very task. And not only is it mentally overwhelming on a number of levels, the one thing that most caregivers say they're surprised by is how physically demanding it is on them. Here's a Growing Bolder story of a woman who never expected to have to care for her parents and at the same time to care for herself.
Two left, two right.
Beth Ann Weiss is a lightning bolt of energy who has little trouble motivating others to move.
And you should start feeling a little burn in the glutes.
It's her passion and her career.
Man, we are all on the same page. Do it again.
Remarkable when you consider that for the longest time, her doing anything like this was nothing more than a seemingly impossible dream.
Front and side.
My whole life was kind of trying to seek answers to why am I in pain all the time.
She was constantly dizzy, would struggle simply to keep her balance. It got to where she was afraid to drive and even afraid to leave the house.
I was sent to every doctor. I went all over to the best of the best. I went to witch doctors. I went everywhere because it was just, it took over my life.
She had a chronic vestibular disorder, and if there wasn't much doctors could do, then Beth Ann decided to fight it on her own. And she did, not by sitting still, but through movement.
I don't want to get too deep, but I feel like we are meant to move. We are just, like the 11th commandment should be, thou shalt move thy assets.
So she dubbed herself the Asset Queen.
But I want you out here as much as you can without arching your back.
And set out on a mission to regain her health and that of as many others as she could gather along the way.
Side, side, hold, right side. The big booty song. Left side. Moving your assets is just about getting up your God-given body parts and moving them the way they're meant to move. And I've turned that into my life's mission. And I wrote a book called Move Your Assets, From the Chair, Not the Bank. I try to get people to focus on positive, adding positive things to your life. And it's called movement. Notice that? Movement. I always take words like that. Meant to move. Oh, really? So I don't even call it exercise. I don't call it workout because that sounds, who the heck wants more work?
Beth Ann's life had come together, but now into her 50s, it was about to come apart again.
Can I have my mommy, my favorite hug?
This time, it was her parents.
Hi, mommy.
Age had taken a toll. Alzheimer's disease
Wanna take a walk with me?
Forced her mother into a memory care facility.
Gotcha.
Her father, with different issues, was in a nursing home clear across town. Beth Ann found herself thrust into the role of caregiver, a role that changed everything.
I am living my life and I'm having a great life, but I still cannot get these images of seeing I miss my mother. And it's not her, but it is. So at least I still get a hug or something, but, and her just go, I don't know how long she's going to go on like this. And you can't be in these situations and expect that anyone's going to come and help you. You feel so alone in this kind of caregiving. You know, no one can really relate to it unless they're in the situation.
There are 44 million people in this country who can relate, who have had to put their own lives, even their own families, aside to care for others. In many cases, the task is simply overwhelming.
There's an 800 number that was on the fax. Was that the wrong number?
That is the correct number.
Okay. I clock 30 hours a week. I have to document all the hours that I spend. That's only for my mom. And I just never expected it to be my full-time job, but literally, it is.
Her mother was a vibrant, intelligent, passionate woman.
Your birthday was 2 days ago. Do you remember we came here to visit you and we had a cake?
Now she rarely utters a word.
And I just started thinking about my mother. And she was my BFF my whole life. Like this beautiful lady. And it's not her anymore. And I have to visit her like this.
About all that's left is an occasional response. And oddly enough, a tune from long ago.
This? Put another nickel in.
In the Nickelodeon.
All I want is loving you and...
Music.
What makes that song special to her?
The guy who wrote it, Bernhard Kastenbaum, was one of her first boyfriends back in the day. One is loving you and
music.
Because of her own struggles, Beth Ann thought she knew the importance of strength. She had no idea how strong she would really need to be.
You gotta put you on your schedule first. And if you don't, you're not going to be able to handle all the curveballs that life throws at you. We push away. It's like, get away. Work in the triceps. There's a method to my madness. So what I'm trying to do is keep you strong at 45, 35.
Thank you, Robin.
Because when you get to be my age, old and decrepit, you're going to have a lot of things thrown at you. You may have to take care of your parents, and you better be able to take care of yourself.
Beth Ann Weiss believes we all need to keep moving our assets, if not for ourselves, for those in our lives who have no idea how much they'll come to depend on us.
This is a big thing. There are a lot of people like me that need some sort of assistance. There are no books out there like when you're ready to have a baby. There are lots of what to name your baby and what to expect when you're expecting. You want to go rest? 1, 2, 3. There's not much... written for people that have no expectations of taking care of parents. Give me lovies, and I'll see you tomorrow. Where's my big mommy? I love you, mommy.
I love you, mommy.
overwhelmed but not defeated. The experience has reaffirmed everything that Weiss has believed all along, and that is we have to start now to get into the best shape we can in order to have the strength it's going to take to face whatever challenge that we will all surely meet in the future. And she says she now realizes that the duties and responsibilities of caregiving have taken such a toll that it's a nearly impossible task without having your peak physical and mental strength to assist.
You know, and how great of her to share her story with us, because it's very personal and very intimate, but she has some must-dos for the rest of us who might one day become a caregiver. Discuss things with your parents now. Don't wait. Don't expect sympathy, because nobody knows what it's like, and be as strong and healthy yourself as you can be. Well, how's your financial health? Will you have what you need for retirement? We've got important advice from a national expert up next. This is Growing Bolder.
Support for Growing Bolder provided by
Savings accounts should build wealth, not add expenses. Raisin gives savers access to high-yield savings accounts, money market deposit accounts, and certificates of deposit from over 70 banks and credit unions. Find, fund, and manage multiple savings products all through a single secure login. More information at raisin.com/growingbolder.
You know the commercial that says, "What's in your wallet?" Well, if you're like most aging people in this country, the honest answer is not enough. Plain and simple. So what's going to happen to all of us when we retire? How much money should we have? And what in the world can we do about it now anyway? Well, we're about to get some of the straightest financial advice you've ever gotten, because it's coming from an economist, one who specializes in studying the economics of retirement. In fact, she teaches it first at Notre Dame and now at the New School for Social Research in New York. She's also a trustee of a multi-billion dollar retiree healthcare fund, and the author of whose latest book is changing the future for many. It's called How to Retire with Enough Money. Plain and simple, folks. Let's see what we can learn from Teresa Ghilarducci. How are you, Teresa?
I'm really good today. I'm in New York City.
Oh, well, things could only be better if you were here with us. But you got to have money to travel. And looking through your book, Teresa, and I've got to tell you, there is a lot missing. There are no gimmicks in your book. There are no seminars to enroll in, no secret investment strategies. So what in the world could you possibly be basing your advice on?
Yeah, right. No bells and whistles, no things to get you to hire an advisor who's going to tell you about all those accounts that is going to make him money. I mean, yeah, you money. One of the big advices I have, big piece of advice is to fire your guy, and your guy could be a girl, you know, it could be a woman, but it's usually this advisor who says that my advice is free, I'm going to, you know, call you every day and tell you what to invest in. That person is what's called a conflicted advisor, that the advice that he gives can't lie, but it doesn't have to be in your interest. So one piece of advice for people who are older, you know, that's like over 40, is to get a fee-for-service advisor. They'll cost you about, you know, $500 to $1,000, but they'll look at your financial future and they'll help you get to retirement, you know, and beyond, to the day you die. And that's what really is on people's mind, but a lot of people forget about it, because a lot of things you find in advice books is actually gimmicks and shame, you know, a finger wagging kind of tone that says you've done everything wrong. And what I try to do is lift people up and tell them where they have a lot of power and influence to change their future.
But there are so few Teresa Ghilarducci's around, and the road to financial advice is paved with these potholes that you talk about, of people trying to sell us commission-based things or pushing their own deal. Yeah. How do we find somebody we can trust?
Yeah, so in the book, there's a website called Certified Financial Planners. So you these are people who live in your area that only charge a fee for their advice. And their income does not depend upon the kinds of investments that you make. So just Google, you know, get the book and find the website, or Google fee-only financial advisors. The other people that want your money are credit card sponsors, banks. They want you to go into debt using your credit card, and they want you to go into debt by having a mortgage. And so the other piece of advice I have is the obvious one, which is live within your means. Never, ever, ever have a balance on your credit card. And if you do have a balance, just get rid of your credit card. The other thing I say is that putting money against your principal over and above your monthly minimum is a way to save. Paying down your principal for your house is a way to save, because if you're paying 5% and you actually can shorten that loan, you put money towards that 5%, you're earning 5%. So a lot of people don't realize that paying off your mortgage debt is a form of retirement savings.
You know, Teresa,
so I like that piece of advice a lot.
You know, I think there are a lot of us that are listening that we get it, and we do read and listen, and you know, but we've been through a killer recession, and nobody gets raises anymore.
Yeah.
We're all struggling to get by anyway. We're getting older, and really,
yeah,
frankly, all we hear from people is that we need to save more, but save more from where?
Yeah, I know. And I have some tips about how to firm up your job situation, you know, places that you can go to make sure that you have as much, you're paid as much as you you deserve. But really the power is within you to cut down your expenses. One way to do that is to learn from behavioral economists and behavioral psychologists that money is very social. And so you should pick a lifestyle where you can save. So find friends that have the same kind of income that you do, that have the same attitudes about money that you do, and make sure that your friends are fun. Make frugality actually fun. When I talk to people who wonder, what about my handbags and my shoes and my cars and my hobbies? And I really say, just fall in love with the stuff that you already have. Like, take the golf clubs that you have on a date, take your bathing suit, you know, on a date, take your shoes on a date. Don't go shopping for new stuff that you already have. So there's a lot of ways to even save with the income that you have, even if you've gone through a recession. And if going through that recession means that you have some debt, pay it off. If it also means you're scared to death, use that fear as power to actually not be in such a vulnerable, you know, situation when the next recession comes, because it will, and you've got to be prepared for it.
Teresa, we're all going to be fired up to do something as soon as we finish this up in the next minute. But the problem is, you know, in 5 minutes from now, we're going to hear somebody else on the news that says, invest in this and stay away from that. And this is a surefire deal. How do we sift through all of the misleading stuff?
Yeah.
And how do we get back to the Teresa Ghilarducci basics?
Yeah, so get back to a pencil and paper. Know how much you spend and make sure that you save. When you save, save in a low fee. I don't have any relationship with Vanguard, but they have the lowest fee investment. Make sure that you have power over your 401k, your financial advisor, your IRA. Make it a date in this time that you're filing your taxes to get your financial house in order. So 5 minutes from now, don't be a sap and listen to the advertisement. You start controlling the information that you have. But the best way to get power is to act. And that will actually, it's proven, get your serotonin levels up and actually make you happier and more satisfied.
You know, does it amaze you how little we know? I mean, we're very educated people, but we know nothing about our own finances. We walk around blind and trusting in others or parents or friends.
No, I actually don't think it's our ignorance that's mostly at fault. It's actually the predators, the advertising, the misdirection that we're getting every day. And that's a mistake with the 401k and the IRA system. I mean, we've been asked for the past 40 years to do what is best done automatically and what employers used to do when we had our defined benefit plans, is to save and to invest professionally. It's like we've had kind of do-it-yourself dentistry or electric wiring for the past 40 years. I mean, we really are in a badly designed system, the 401k and IRA system. My book is really about how to make the best of a second or third best situation. It's how to actually overcome the bad advice that you get and the financial predators that are trying to take your money.
Boy, it sure feels like self-dentistry a lot, but the book helps. It's called How to Retire with Enough Money. To find out more about the book and its author, check out Teresa Ghilarducci, GHILARDUCCI.org. Ever feel like you're just too old to do something? Well, maybe that'll change in a minute, because you're about to meet a hockey player who's 90 years old. This is Growing Bolder. Sign up for the Growing Bolder Insider Newsletter, delivered to your inbox every week. Be the first to see our latest interviews, stories, and tips for making each day count. Sign up today at growingbolder.com. Miss an episode of Growing Bolder Radio? Subscribe to our podcast and get it on your mobile device. Details at growingbolder.com/podcasts.
You're listening to Growing Bolder. I'm Mark Middleton, along with hockey player, hockey coach, and hockey fan Bill Schaefer. And I mention that for a reason, folks. You know, one thing we've learned after talking to guest after guest is that it is never too late to live the life you really want to. At least we say that. But when we heard about our next guest, even we had to wonder if it is really possible.
You know, you're so right, Mark, because we're all conditioned, whether we know it or not, to believe that after a certain age, we're kind of supposed to fade away, to disengage from life, to sit in front of that TV and never get up again. Go out and do stuff? Huh, it's too dangerous. You'll hurt yourself. Well, you know what, folks? Those days are over. We have proof that that is complete and total horse hockey. Let's say hi right now to Mike Campbell, because he's going to prove that whole thing wrong. How are you, Mike?
Oh, great. How are you?
It's great to have you with us. Can you tell us how old a fella are you?
I'm 90 years old. I was 90 January 8th.
Well, congratulations to you and happy birthday. Tell everybody what it is that you do that is so darn shocking to everybody.
Well, I don't know. I really never planned it this way, but it seems I work out like I never ever drank. I never ever smoked. I never had a weight problem. So maybe that all that stuff helps. But I really didn't plan being around this long.
Well, it's not
just worked out anyhow.
I'm going to help you out with this, Mike, because it's not just that you're around. It's that you are, in fact, what we believe to be the world's oldest organized hockey player. At 90 years old, you still get out there on the ice. In fact, tell us, when was the last time you played hockey?
I played yesterday. That was 65 games this year I played.
Mike, are you out there playing with other 90-year-olds?
No, ice rentals cost a lot of money, so you have to allow young fellas. So there's really nobody my age. It probably runs from age 35 up to the maybe people in 70, but I don't think there's anybody even playing. I play against as 80, you know. My legs never bother me, so, and my wind is all right, so I always go. I hate missing.
Folks, you're not going to hear this interview anywhere else. We are talking to Mike Campbell, the world's oldest organized hockey player. Mike, Bill told me after he did some research on you that back in the day, you were a little bit of a scrappy kind of a player. So I want to ask you this. Do you still get into fights on the ice at the age of 90?
No, I don't get, but I love to win, eh? Sometimes they say you're a little on the dirty side, but I just like to play hard.
Now, I'm sure, Mike, you know, we laugh it up and everybody says, oh, how great it is. But I'm sure it terrifies your family and, you know, your loved ones when you say, hey, I'm going out to the rink again, because you have been hurt. When you were in your 70s, you took a puck square in the face, two black eyes, broken nose, 12 stitches. A lot of people, Mike, a lot of people would have said, that's enough. I'm going to hang it up. Why didn't you?
No, the only thing I done that time, I just started wearing a screen when I was in my 70s after I got hit a few times. I didn't like going to hockey and then have to leave and go to a hospital to get stitched up and miss my ice time. So rather than quit, I just put the screen on.
You know, quick note here about one of the things Bill and I learn when we talk to people like this is that Mike's had many reasons to stop doing what he loves, but he refuses to because he likes it so much. You just have to keep on keeping on. And you really should know this about Mike Campbell, folks. His wife died in her 40s, leaving him to raise 12 kids. He worked for 16 years in a coal mine, and now he is still attacking life on a daily basis. Mike, what keeps you going?
Well, I'm a strong believer in exercise. In the summertime, I'm always on the move. I've been volunteer for over nearly 40 years around cemeteries with a push mower, not a lawn, not a ride on. And not that I was ever told, but I love exercise.
And Mike, something else you get to do that, you know, makes a huge difference. Do you play on a team with your grandsons?
Yes, I play Witten against sons and Witten against grandsons.
Now, how cool is that for them to learn what could be their future might look like if they live as well as you have?
They seem to accept it. No, I play Witten against a lot of foes over the years. Nobody ever said to me yet that you should quit, eh? I said, I'll quit when I embarrass myself. Well, they said, you're not embarrassing yourself, so.
What else keeps you going, Mike? Obviously, you love hockey, but, you know, people that are still as active as you are in their 90s, you know, they have other reasons to get up. You know, what floats your boat? What's your life like? Do you live alone? Tell us a little bit about that.
No, I've been married again, you know, and my second wife is just like my first wife. Never, ever said you shouldn't play hockey. I always encouraged me. I love the outdoors.
And to prove,
I love being on the move.
To prove that, Mike, it's not like you play hockey, then go home and lay in a bed on an IV for the rest of the week.
No.
You go out and you voluntarily mow the grass with a push mower at cemeteries. Why do you do that?
I've been doing it over 35, over maybe long, close to 40 years. And on hot days, and not that I was tall, but I just like being on the move. I'm no medication or nothing, eh?
What kind of diet do you have?
I have a great appetite, but I like to watch what I eat, eh? But I have a tremendous appetite, and I never put on a pound. I only weigh about 162 pounds.
Mike, you're not only a great athlete and a great guy, you are a smart guy. So give us a little word of wisdom. What's the Mike Campbell takeaway? What do you want everybody to know about life that you've learned?
Well, I don't know how to put that. I always say you never get better sitting in the rocking chair. So I just say to people, get up and move.
And it doesn't matter what you do, folks, whether it's pushing a lawnmower or whether it's lacing up the skates and getting out on the ice. Find something you love and make it your lifestyle, because movement is the fountain of youth. He is 90 years old. He plays ice hockey more than once a week with guys half his age. He's all the way from Nova Scotia, Canada. What a great conversation with a great guy. Congratulations to Mr. Mike Campbell. Not only is she one of the brightest stars in Hollywood, she's determined to use her celebrity to make a difference for others. Jane Seymour is up next. This is Growing Bolder.
We've got news. Watch.growingbolder.com, the world's first streaming site for active adults, is now live. Growing Bolder TV shows, national specials, documentaries, and inspiring videos on ordinary people living extraordinary lives 24/7 on demand for free. Watch.growingbolder.com is now live. You're listening to Growing Bolder. I'm Mark Middleton with Bill Schaefer and a big-time star. You know her from the James Bond film Live and Let Die and, of course, the TV series Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. And we're about to find out how much more there is to her than what we've seen on the screen. Bill?
Well, it's not very often you get the chance to sit down and have a nice little chat with Jane Seymour. What a pleasure to see you,
Thank
Jane.
You. It's good to be here.
Sitting next to her for about 5 minutes here, and already she's come up with 3 or 4 ideas of things she would like to do. Your mind never stops, does it?
No, my mind does not stop.
Are you like a serial entrepreneur kind of a person?
No, sometimes I just see a possibility and I make it happen. That's kind of what I do. You know, I never had any big major plans to do all the things that I'm doing, but things just happen sometimes. And whereas I think some people go, oh, I'm not going to do that, you know, no one wants that, or, you know, why me, or anything like that, I always go, why not?
So that may be an idea that generates fear, but one idea of yours that everybody can get behind is the Open Hearts and the Open Hearts Foundation. You're doing amazing work. People come out with product lines all the time, but not necessarily ones that can make a difference in people's lives.
Well, thank you. But, you know, the interesting thing is it never started out as a product line. I mean, I always tell people that if something's authentic, then the public knows. They know the difference between a line of something that we're all supposed to feel something about and when something actually is real. And the real story behind it is that my mother survived a lot of terrible things in life, including being in an internment camp, a Japanese camp, 3.5 years in World War II. And she always told me growing up, and my sisters, that in life there would be challenges. And there'd be moments where you feel that something's insurmountable, and your instinct would be to close off your heart and just keep it inside. But she said, if you can accept what's happened, accept being the hardest part, open your heart and reach out in some way to help someone else, there would A, always be someone worse off than you. And B, by helping someone else, especially from the perspective of having maybe gone through something similar, you would have purpose. And when you have purpose in life, you find happiness. And when you have happiness, you exude love and love comes to you.
And you know, I'm sure your mom, when she told you that there would be obstacles, she didn't realize you were going to be Jane Seymour. What obstacles could Jane, famous Seymour, have in her life?
I can think of a few. I nearly died 3 times. I was resuscitated once. That was a pretty good obstacle. I had anaphylactic shock. I don't recommend it. I'm very glad, however, that I survived, and so I don't fear death. And I know you only take 2 things with you when you die. One is the love you've shared, and the other is the difference you make. So I consider it a gift. So for me, the obstacles I've had, when I've managed to process them, and I'm not saying I do it easy, like, hey, give me a terrible obstacle, I'm going, oh, no, that's not a problem. No, I mean, I cry, I get mad, I get sad, I, you know, all the things that one does. But I think I do process it a little bit quicker because of my mother's advice. I think I actually accept it. I go, well, it's not what I was hoping for, whether it was, you know, a marriage ending or dealing with something with my kids or something professionally or a health issue. I get realistic about it. And then I look around and, like my mother said, there's, you don't have to look far to find someone that's far worse off than you are.
And you mentioned something simple like a love ending. And I think a generation ago, people would have assumed that at this point in life, when that happens, you're done. But you found that it's not the end.
No, I think, actually, the older you get, I think, you know, the more wisdom you have, the more experience you have, the more time you usually have, not me particularly. And, you know, this is when you can be actually of more service. Just think of all those kids, you know, who their parents are working so they can go to school. You know, how great to actually say to a neighbor, hey, you know, I'll just go sit there when they come home and I'll sit there while they have their dinner, or I'll, you know, make them a cup of tea or something, or I'll watch them while they do their homework. I mean, simple things like that. Or what my mother used to do till the time she passed at 92, she had macular degeneration, but she's still, every day she picked up a big phone with all these big numbers we stuck on it, and she would call her friends and say, hey, how are you doing? And they grouse and grouse and grouse. And she said, well, that must be really hard. And they go, yes, it is, Mika. And she go, well, you know what? I'm thinking about you. And they used to say to my mother, why are you always so happy? You know, why are you always so positive? And she just said, because life is just a fantastic thing. And, you know, why hang on to the negative when you can move forward?
See, because of your mom, you had a very different view of what things can happen in midlife and beyond. And here you are as well. You came through the difficult times of a divorce, but then again you found that there is romance again and that life does go on. And think you don't go down a slope. You don't have to. As you age, what have you discovered about, especially in such a difficult and ageist field that you're in and acting, you continue to thrive where others don't?
You know what? I embrace who I am and where I'm at. So I'm playing a lot of women who are my age. There are a lot of actresses my age who are trying to pretend that they're 15, 20, 30 years younger. And I don't choose to, you know, do something to my face so that my muscles don't move and the wrinkles aren't there. So I can actually play, you know, women who are older, you know, women who are dealing with that kind of thing. And I always tell my kids, I think, and I tell people, just be authentic. And just figure out what you know how to do and how invariably you can see something that needs doing and you go, oh, you know, I could do that. I can make that happen. And so that's just who I am. I don't, it's nothing huge, really. But I, you know, I'm now designing. I started painting as a therapy for me. And then people said, oh, I love your paintings. And I go, really? And he said, no, I really do. And I said, well, you know, I'm just doing it for myself. And I was on the crew of, doing Dr. Quinn at the time. And I would paint just to relax, just to be able to get over some of the traumatic things I was dealing with at that time. And the crew said, we want one of your paintings. And I thought, well, I can't give the whole crew. So I made prints, and then the next thing I knew, they wanted them on T-shirts, and then next I knew they wanted them on handbags, and then next thing I know, I now have a fine art career. I show in museums. I have commissions. I've been an official painter for the Olympics. Then I go and paint this open heart, and then it becomes a piece of jewelry and a sculpture and a foundation, and I don't know.
If I didn't know better, I would almost think that you are about to say that this time of your life may be the best.
You know something? In some ways, I think it is. Because I think when you're a little bit older, I don't have anything to prove. I mean, I probably do, but I'm not in that kind of, I've got to make it kind of mode. I'm more in the, why not? I can do that.
How can I contribute?
How can I contribute? And how can I experience life? And what makes me happy? It makes me happy to connect people. It makes me happy to make a difference. And it makes me happy to be with people that I love and respect and admire.
And to have that sense of purpose like your mom told
right,
you from
exactly.
the beginning.
And I want to be as fit and healthy as I can be for as long as I can so I can run around with the grandchildren.
Last question.
Yes.
What's the moral of your story? What's the Jane Seymour takeaway? What can we learn from the experiences that you've had about how to live a fulfilling life?
I would say, if you get it to a nutshell, if your heart and your mind are open, love will come into your life and nothing is impossible.
That's fantastic. I had no idea that you would be this inspiring. But it's been a real treat. You can understand why she's so driven to make a difference all around the country and the world, the great Jane Seymour.
Be sure to check us out on Facebook to discover why the Growing Bolder page is one of the most vibrant and uplifting of all.
Got a takeaway for you before you go. Whether you're dabbling in art or making jewelry like Jane Seymour, saving for retirement like Teresa Ghilarducci, or playing ice hockey at 90 like Mike Campbell, push yourself. It's the only way to find out what you're capable of. If you want to grow, you've got to step out of your comfort zone. It isn't always easy, but chances are you'll be pretty surprised by how life can just open up. That's what we call Growing Bolder.
The Growing Bolder radio show is a production of Growing Bolder, LLC, all rights reserved. This program was recorded at Growing Bolder Studios in Orlando and is available as a weekly podcast on NPR One, iTunes, Spotify, and TuneIn. It is written and produced by Jill Middleton, Mark Middleton, and Bill Schaefer. Technical director is Jason Morrow. Production manager is Michael Nanis. Chief audio engineer is Mac Dula. And our most important team member, you. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram to keep growing bolder every day.
Crimson flames tied through my ears. Oh. said I, proudly heated brow. Ah, but
I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now.
Half right prejudice leap for, rip down all hate I scream. Lies that life is black and white, spoke from my skull I dream. Romantic flanks of musketeers, foundation deep somehow. Oh, but
I was so much older.